Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Welcome, folks, to the podcast, and I'm here with Katie, my co-host, Katie Rubino. By the way, stay tuned. If you like what we're talking about, we may have a Boston event coming up soon. We'll let you know more about that, but it's going to be extremely limited seating because we're going to give a ton of value. But again, stay tuned. All right, so Katie, let's jump right in today. It's really about harvesting, and you use that term. Maybe does the whole industry use that term, IP harvest?
I'd say it's a recognized term in the industry. Yes.
Yeah. I think I have one of these books here, and it does say something like harvesting intellectual assets or something like that. But think about it. It's almost like a farmer. I think it's an interesting term, and we know that I'm not a farmer, but I'm told that they really make a killing, you know, when it's harvest time.
Right.
You know, they do all this work. They do the spraying, you know, the planting, the watering, the fertilizing, and then finally at the end, very short, it might even happen in a few days, but it's like it's the harvest. So there's people right now that have had businesses for 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, maybe even generations. And they're pretty much walking over their IP, almost tripping over it. They don't even see it. So how do you help people that come to your Boston office? How do you help them like find it?
Yeah, no, good question. And I think it starts even, like you said, with farmers, right? From the moment you decide to plant the seeds, right? Because it's all about, with IP, it's the IP process, it's perpetual and it's always a moving target. And so it's always planting new seeds, harvesting your, you know, watering, maintaining your planted seeds, and then harvesting them. And really what we mean by IP harvesting is kind of figuring out what are all the intangible assets that the company owns, all of the trademarks, patents, copyrights. Doesn't necessarily mean they're protected yet, right? But what sort of company trade secrets and know-how can we really mine?
Yes.
And start to catalog and document so that then we can start to organize our IP and figure out how do we want to protect it and what's the best plan? Because again, it is a process that takes time. And just because you've harvested or mined 50 different ideas or things doesn't mean you're going to protect all of them right away. Some of them you might want to just hold as a trade secret because you don't want others to know about it. But it kind of helps to set the framework to then identify how to move forward.
That's great. That's great. We're going to share a slide here in a moment that you and I, of course, we wrote You Are an IP Company, new editions coming out March 5th. And what we did in the book is I really asked you, I said, hey, what are, I didn't know at first, I thought, what are the top 10? And then the list turned into 20, then it turned into 30. And now it's 45. And I want people to see this document. You can see this, Katie. And you only see this, right? The treasures.
Yes. I love the color scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually our friend, Randy.
Randy, right.
Yeah. So give big shout out to Just Call Randy. She does design work. But anyway, she says, what treasures are hiding in your business? And again, like she used this from our book. We gave her permission. She says it's protected by Instant IP in the top right corner. But basically, I'm just going to start reading some of these and I might stop and ask you what they mean. But let's go into brands, processes. So I feel like that one, a lot of companies would probably just miss because they do it day in and day out. And it becomes too familiar, too common. And that's part of, I think, the curse of not seeing your IP is that it's too familiar. Do you ever find that?
Absolutely. Especially when you're very focused and ingrained in the company, and that's all you're working on, right? You kind of become oblivious to it. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean you're so familiar with it, you kind of don't even realize the scope of what you have to protect already right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the Coca-Cola formula, right? If that's what you've been doing for 30 years, 100 years, it's just the syrup. And you're like,
Yep.
what? Oh my gosh. Like, all we do is we take the syrup and put sparkling water, carbonated water, and that's it. And yet, that company, the process, the syrup, the logos, you combine all that, and it's billions. In fact, this is unplanned, Katie. The Coca-Cola. I have it right here.
Buddy with your props.
It's like
Yeah.
almost like we planned it. But no, I think that if you're part of Coca-Cola, you don't see it unless sometimes there's an outside person.
That's right. Well, and I just think too, it's also you can get very busy working in your company, right? And so you think, oh, this isn't anything special. This is nothing worth protecting. But a lot of times it's those very simple or minor tweaks, right, to the current state of the tech that drives a lot of our innovation. And so I always encourage people to really think about those small changes, right? Because a lot of times that's what really drives the innovation cycle forward.
I like that. I got a crazy TV show idea. You ready for this, Katie? Maybe you want to be my co-host. Maybe we need to start a TV station show. But you've heard of the Antique Roadshow, where they
Yeah.
come and they bring in, like, hey, grandma had this can, and I wonder if it's worth anything. And then they look at it and they're like, oh, this was made in the Civil War, and it's
Right.
there's only five in the world, and it's like worth $5 million. And again, it was just sitting on the shelf, and all of a sudden the guy like pulled it off the shelf. I think we need to create the IP roadshow.
Oh, definitely. Because it's just like we talk about in our book, and I thought I had a copy of it somewhere, but
Yeah, I got one
when we
right here.
talk about the Rembrandts in the office, in the attic, right? A whole chapter on it. And so it's all about going through all this stuff you've amassed and even figuring out what do I have? Because a lot of times too, maybe you've updated a internal worksheet or thinking tool, right? And so that's something to catalog. Maybe you have a very unique process, right? A method, a set of steps, a business practice. And a lot of times we think about it as they talk about in strategic coach, right? Your front stage and your backstage. Your front stage being all of your forward facing, right? Ideas and what you're putting out there for consumers and the public. And so that's sort of one bucket of IP. And then you have all of your backstage processes where it's all the unique steps and methods internally, maybe it's algorithms, right? How you handle data. So it's kind of thinking in both of those lenses about what do we have that's unique and really adds value to our
I love it.
business.
I love it. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And even today, I won't say who, but I'm meeting with a very high profile client that basically is coming out with a new book. And what I'm going to tell this client is, because somebody on their team said, oh, we'll just trademark the book title, and I'll nuance that here in a second. They said, we'll do that in a few months. after the book comes out. Now, you can't trademark book titles, but they also have corresponding educational materials, right? So you can trademark, like we did for You Are an IP Company. We trademarked it with Frank, who's amazing on your team, at Wigan and Dana. But basically, because we had a title and also a course with the same name, we were able to trademark that. So what I'm going to tell this client, Katie, is don't wait till the book comes out, because they are so high profile. It's already pre-selling on all the bookstores.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
There can be strategies about
yes.
how to protect your book title in different areas when it's being
Right.
used for different sort of services.
Yeah, this one's
Exactly.
being used. That name is being used now with the software that's integrated and stuff. And so I'm trying to tell these amazing people, like, don't wait, because
Right.
I do feel like the higher profile you get, the more a target's on your back. And people are watching. Oh, Mel Robbins has a new book coming out like in a few months. She better be having some IP strategy, because she's got a lot of people, you know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, targeting her.
Right. Exactly. And I think too, the other thing where people miss it with books is also if you have a series, right, of three or more books, then you can trademark the book title. So a lot of times it's very common to have these sort of series and have people be writing all these books in the series. And so
Oh,
that's
yeah.
another angle
Hunger
to think
Games,
about.
Divergent, Harry Potter.
Yep, exactly.
So I love what we're saying, because some of it is the harvest looking back. Oh, I've been using this for 20 years. But part of the harvest is strategy, saying, like, a farmer doesn't just wake up and be like, I'm going to do soybeans today. No, like, they have a strategy of, we need to plant X this year, in 2 years Y, in 3 years Z, because it's like they're harvesting in the future.
That's right.
So
Exactly.
I think
And
that's
I think a big misconception, especially with entrepreneurs, is they think, okay, I filed that trademark. I've checked the IP thing off, right? But what they need to understand is it's not ever really done, right? It's always a moving target. And it's always, like you say, you need to be continuously looking inward because there's going to be new ideas, new know-how, new names of products, right? And so it's you're always kind of continuing to protect as the company's moving ahead and trying to really align your IP with where your business strategy and business activity is going as well.
I got to share this quick story. This is totally related to what you're saying. So I've been watching the History Channel while I'm doing indoor biking, because indoor biking is not that fun. But I was watching The Toys That Built America, and they were talking about G.I. Joe, right? So G.I. Joe was created almost as a response to Barbie. Like, oh, the girls have Barbie. Like, we need to create G.I. Joe. And so the day before they have the big, like, World's Fair for toys, everything's set. And they're like, oh my gosh, we never bought the rights for the design. This is the G.I. Joe people. So I'm not even kidding. This so 10 p.m. the night before they launch it, like, they're sitting down with the inventor. One guy's sitting in across the table from the inventor, and he's like, look, we'll give you 1% royalties. We haven't sold anything. This thing might flop. It's a doll for boys. Like, they tried to downplay it. And they said 1%. And he's like, no, I want 5%. And then he said, tell you what, because, again, this is thinking of harvesting in the future. He's like, how about $100,000 in cash? And the inventor's sitting there, the day before the launch,
Yeah.
and he's like, do I take 1% of royalties that I don't even know if it's going to sell anything, or do I take $100,000 right now? What do you think he did?
Took the 100K.
Yeah,
Yeah.
took the 100K, and I mean, you know the story. Like, it would have been worth so many millions if he had just had the vision, but a lot of times you don't see the value,
Right,
right?
right.
Right? They didn't know they were sitting on this. The point is, like, just what you're saying, like, sometimes you have to have an outsider. And once the popularity soared, I'm sure that guy had a ton of regret. So let's go here as we land the plane today, Katie. This other list, again, folks, this is in the book. You are an IP company. If you can see the screen, i.e., you're watching it via video, great. If you're watching it via audio, we're not going to read all 45. But Katie, as you look at these 45, we just talked about number 29, royalties. But what other ones do you think? I don't know. People don't often think anything of.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like especially now data, right? All the data internally at your
That's
business,
it.
you can't necessarily, patent your data, right? But what you can protect is how you're using that data to drive maybe business operations, business decisions. And so I think that's a big one that frequently gets overlooked a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, we were just talking about Signal before we started, but there's a big story that just broke on WhatsApp. Meta's in trouble. Meta basically either has to admit we've been selling to China data from WhatsApp, even though we told you it was not viewable. So they made $3 billion, or we have to admit that we actually could see your stuff. Like, they're caught right now
Right.
because it came out that they made $3 billion. So they either have to deny it, say it was a mistake, or return the money. And I mean, this is it. But you said data,
Right.
and data is, I've heard, more valuable than oil. Like, if you have a platform with tons of data, people will pay for that customer data.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, this was great. We want people to see the value, harvest the value. I'm gonna land the plane with one last thing, Katie. I told you before we started today, there's this prompt, and I want to encourage people. Make sure your AI is secure, that it's not training. You can do that with settings and privacy. Drop in your manuscript to your book or your website to your business. And here is the prompt, Katie. Find all the pithy IP worthy phrases, graphs, charts, terms that we should protect within our manuscript, website. And then I'm looking for 50 of the best. And then I showed you that pre-show, and it put them all there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, it, like anything, you got to go through it and say, well, that one's not great, or that one is used by somebody else. But it really, in 60 seconds, shows you, and then you can go to Wiggin and Dana and say, I want these trademarked, or I want these patented, or maybe just I want that first fast layer instant IP. Awesome. So, Katie, we'll tell people to think of May. We'll get the date if we're going to do that Boston IP lab concept, but it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. More details to come soon.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Keep protecting your IP. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.